Greg, I want to thank you for the honor of being able to stand before you and pray together. We were talking earlier, a little over almost 3 decades ago, Justin brought us together, and I was able to introduce you to somebody very special, and that was Jesus, and I praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad today that I can pray at the completion, I'm not saying the end, the completion here on earth of Justin's life.
Yes.
At his home going. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today, Lord, that we have the humble privilege of coming before the throne of grace. I want to thank you today for all your grace, Father. I want to thank you today that for the last 3 decades, this family has experienced a grace that has been sufficient for them through everything that they faced. And that grace will not be insufficient from this point forward.
Amen.
It's going to be there for them. And so, Father, today, I'm grateful today that we can come before you, trusting you, Lord, with this family, trusting you with these people that fell in love with Justin through the years, trusting you, Lord, with all that lies before us, because, Father, you are well worthy of our trust.
Yes, yes.
And, Father, we just thank you for this time that we can celebrate today, the homegoing of Justin, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Should be a hymnal in those pews. We're going to sing page 63, if you'll grab one if you can, and stand. What a day that'll be.
Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky,
yes,
no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace,
when he takes me by the hand
and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You be seated.
Yes,
oft times a day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. Oh, tears forever over in God's eternal day.
Yes,
it will be. see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I gotta say something. And the day we're living in, the president says do this. The president says do this. The governor says do this and that. The CDC says this and that. But they're not the one in charge.
Yeah.
I believe America is in the condition she's in today because we need revival. We need it today. We need it now. Maybe God has put this on us to get our attention. Somebody said, the president said, the CDC and the World Health Organization, which they ought to go out of business anyway, but, you know, you got to keep your distance. Well, I'm glad the Bible says we can boldly come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. There's no social distancing at the altar of God. And I thank Him for it. Sometimes a day looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just go to Him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever pass. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, hallelujah. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen.
On behalf of Pastor Little and his family, Miss Lisa, Jordan, I want to say thank you for everyone that's come. Thank you for all the prayers, all the food, all the cards, phone calls, texts, Facebook messages. I know they really appreciate it. And when this service is over, don't quit. Just keep praying for them.
Yes.
Probably get harder before it gets easier. Pastor called last Saturday. the hospital, couldn't do anything else. Justin, and we took turns crying on the phone. While one talked, the other cried, another listened, and we catch our breath, and another one would talk. And we knew the day was coming. Didn't make it any easier. I was over there Wednesday. They brought Justin home and talking that afternoon, and Miss Lisa, she said something to the effect, we'll just get you to preach because the preacher ain't going to be able to do it. And I sat there in the chair and I didn't say anything. But I said in my head, I don't know if I can do it. But I'm honored. I've known Justin for 21 years now. He was 6 years old when I first met him. And first time I'd ever met anybody like Justin. And if you didn't know him, I mean, he had his own personality. He was who he was. And I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have me to say. And there's nothing I can say that will do anything justice outside of what the Holy Spirit of God can do. But I thought about the littles and the little family, and I thought about little things. And Ecclesiastes 10:1 says this. It says, the dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. In the Song of Solomon, it talks about the little foxes that spoil the vines. In the New Testament, in two places, in 1 Corinthians 5:6 and Galatians 5:9, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. James tells us in James chapter number 3 about the small things that make a big difference, such as the rudder on a boat, the bit in a horse's mouth. And I got to thinking how we take for granted the little things in life.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
And how big of a difference they made. I think about Justin, and I thought about his life, and the Lord gave me a couple of things. There were some qualities about Justin Little that I admire, and we should all aspire to them. And I won't take long, but one thing I knew about Justin to be true is he was simple. He was a simple man. He wasn't complicated. What you saw is what you got. He was always the same. You didn't have to worry about Justin flipping on you or changing on you when you come back. And listen, you can't say that about everybody.
Yeah, come on there a little bit, brother.
A lot of people, they just complicated, amen. Yeah. You wore out after you listened to them a while. Justin was never that way. Amen. All he needed was his bed, a good cartoon. He was good.
Amen. Amen.
Happy.
Yeah.
Some folks, you can't satisfy them with nothing, no matter what you give them. Justin wasn't that way. Amen. Not only was he simple, but listen, he was strong. In the 27 years of his life, he'd been through a lot. He'd been through surgery, sicknesses. He'd always come out of them. Fought through him, battled through him. He's the only man I know that could be on a ventilator without being sedated. A true story. But he was strong. I admired that about him. And if you ever got too close to him, he clamped down on you. You wasn't going to get away too easily. Seriously. Strong. I admired that about him. He was sensitive, though, at the same time. That song we sung today, What a Day That'd Be, when before Justin was not able to come to church and stuff, every time we'd sing that song, he'd tear up. He'd start weeping. Every time we had to take him out.
My.
And I sat and I thought about that. And I don't know for sure if it was tears of sadness or tears of joy. Knowing in one day, One day he'd be there.
Amen.
One day he'd be walking down that street of gold.
Amen.
Amen. I admire that. Amen. Hey, would to God we'd get back to where the songs stirred our hearts again.
Yes, yes.
Hey, when we heard those songs about heaven, that it stirred our heart, amen, reminding us that all this here is just temporary.
That's right. Yeah.
All these little things down here that drive us crazy, it'll all be over with someday, amen.
Yes.
One day we'll see him.
We'll
see Justin.
Amen.
Amen. He was sensitive to those things. Not only that, amen, I believe Justin was a shouter. I remember a bunch of times when he'd be here in church, he'd be right back there, about where Brother Cannon's at. And the preacher would get to going, and if nobody else was shouting, he was. Amen. Don't tell me he didn't know what was going on. He wasn't one of them that shouted at the wrong time. Amen. You know how when the preacher says, I'm about done, everybody says, amen. He was a shouter. Would to God we'll get some more of them. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Hey, if he can shout, if he's got something to shout about, how much more we?
Yeah, tell that, brother. Tell it. Amen.
More importantly, Justin was a soul winner. If you look around this building today.
Yeah.
You're here today because of Justin.
Yes, sir.
See, if God hadn't used him to win his mother and his father to the Lord, most of us wouldn't even be here today.
That's a fact.
In this building. This church may not even be here. In 1994, Justin went into some kind of severe respiratory distress. Miss Lisa had gotten saved earlier that year, January. Started going to church. They hadn't found out long around that time, I think, about Justin's condition. And around April is when that event happened, and he went into that respiratory distress and died momentarily. And I remember a preacher telling me that by that time he was so far away from God, lost church member. But he remembered crying out to God. If he was there and could hear him, would he save his son? And God did that. They went to Greenville Hospital, were there several days. And I'll never forget the story the preacher telling me that while he was there in the hospital, God began to deal with him. And he said, if your son dies, he'll go to heaven, but if you die, you'll go to hell. And the preacher began to think and reason, you know how we do. And he said, well, man, people get crazy in these emergency rooms, get shot all the time. So he went and hid between the Coke machine and the wall. But he couldn't hide from the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God reminded him that if Justin died, he'd go to heaven, but he was going to go to hell if he died. It reminded him people drop dead of heart attacks all the time, even between Coke machines and a wall. So he called on the preacher he knew at the time, called Brother Joe Gardner. And it was late in the evening, and somewhere around 11:45 that night, Brother Gardner got there and was able to lead my pastor to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Because Justin had an impact upon their life. He never spoke a word. He never gave any great speeches. He never achieved any great accolades that this world would say that's necessary. But everybody in this room, by way of Justin and his parents, have been touched by him. Else you wouldn't be here today. It's not always what we see that makes the difference. Most of us in here have heard of a man named D.L. Moody. But most of us, a lot of us, never heard of Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher of D.L. Moody's. He was the man that led him to the Lord.
Amen.
And though this world may not know who that man is, God does.
Yes, he does.
And though this world may not know who Justin Little is. God does.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And listen, his works are falling. And he's in heaven right now. Amen. They're seeing his grandma, his Aunt Donna, Brother Carter, a lot of other folks we've seen go on before us. Joy. Thank God for it. Listen, those little things is what's going to make a difference in your life, friend.
Yes, sir.
In John 3:16, we look over a little word in that verse. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And listen, one of the main words in that verse is one of the smallest ones. It's that little word, "so." The Bible didn't say God just loved the world. The Bible says he so loved the world. And in that little word, "so," is all the agony and pain of Calvary. All that God did for us. I heard a story of a man touring London that came through a cathedral over there, and it had a statue of Jesus on the cross, and it wasn't a normal one that you would see, but it was one where Jesus was hanging on the cross, hanging in agony and pain. And at the bottom of that statue said these words, "This is how God loved the world. He so loved the world in this manner. He gave his Son." And listen, I firmly believe if Justin would want you to know anything, he'd want you to know Jesus. He'd want you to be where he's at one day. And listen, if you don't know that today, there's preachers all over this building, Christians all over this building. Be glad. Take a Bible and show you how you can know that. I can't think of a better time to get saved than a time like this. See, I know where Justin's at, but where are you going to be one day? Where are you going to be one day? To the family, a preacher read this verse to me when my son was born. Listen, God puts people in your life. Need to be there.
Yes.
And at a time where my world was turned upside down because of the birth of a child with some issues, there you come. See, he'd already been through that valley. I was heading into it. And he said, "Let me tell you what God did for us." Gave me some verses from the Bible. One of them he gave was this, is Psalm 127, verse 3. "Children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." The hardest decision you'll have to make is to either be angry for the time you didn't have, or thankful for the 27 years you had.
Yeah, it's good, brother.
Amen. It's a gift.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's a gift each and every day. Little as much, God's in it.
Thank you so much, brother.
Little as much when God's
yes.
in it.
Yes. Amen and amen.
Wow. Social distancing, eat your heart out. But yeah, I don't have anything written down, and I don't want a timer on me, so I'm going to just get all I need off my chest. The first thing I want to say is thank you to all of you for coming here today. It really means a lot to me and my family. And second of all, this ain't going to be the last time you're going to see someone cry, okay? A wise man once told me that real men cry, and I believe in that every single day of my life. And Jason pointed out a few things about Justin, which is true. But, however, he left out a few things that I'm going to give you all. But before that, I might want to tell you a little funny story, okay? Just one. One time when we first lived back behind over there, you know, in that fellowship building, which used to be our house, I remember sitting in Justin's bed one time, and me and him were just watching TV, and, you know, it was on, a like, drawers and all that, and the little TV was right there. And that little sucker, you know, used his legs to grab a hold of my leg in a scissors lock and all that, like in wrestling. And it took my mom to just get his legs out from around my neck. That's what happens when you put your kids through watching wrestling, Dad. So thanks. Thank you for the experience. But even so, there were some negatives, you know, having, you know, to be there for him, you know, even if he had those muscle spasms that could really bop you in the face real hard and it could feel like it'd knock you out like Mike Tyson, but still, at the same time, it was all worth it. But here's some things I'm going to tell you that this man went through. This man right here went through a lot of things that I give a lot of love and respect for, and I wouldn't trade that for nothing. This guy right here, right in front of me, had the bravery to go through an appendix operation. Most people would like die from that sort of thing, from what I've heard, but guess what? He overcame that. Then there were other things that happened. I don't know which year it was, and frankly, I don't care because I don't want to get too technical. There you go, Mom. I'm just doing that for you. But anyway, there was a time where we all went through bronchitis, me and the whole family. And Justin, he went through it, and he went back to being 100%. Like I said, I'm going to be open-minded. He also went through the scabies along with every one of us. And guess what? No. He went, yeah, I'm serious. And guess what? He went through it. He went through it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he was tough. Especially with last year. He had his gallbladder taken out too. I mean, he's been through so much stuff. He's been through stuff that I could never relate to. You see, right around before he had his gallbladder taken out, I was going through another hernia problem. And I had a decision to make. It was either tell my mom I'm going through this again, or let the surgery go through and all that, and then tell her afterward. Because that's how I love my brother. I put him before I put myself. He was my life for the past 8 years. 8 years. And I don't regret any bit of it. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. But people keep saying, wow, Jordan Little, he's a great brother. I mean, he does real good. They say, holy, Jordan's great. No. I want that to stop right now. Because it's not because of me that for the past 8 years I did what I could. It's because of her.
Yes, sir.
She taught me the ropes.
Yep.
She taught me everything from A to Z, everything about the medicines, how to get them situated, everything. I wouldn't be where I am to taking care of my brother and my sister for the past 8 years if it wasn't for her. I know she's given a lot of people praises of how good I am, but I want you people to understand that it's because of her that I learned how to do it properly. That night, when he passed, I felt I had his hand right here into my own, and right before that doctor put that stethoscope to his chest, right before that, I knew he went home. It doesn't take a doctor, it doesn't take a nurse, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that a brother's bond is more stronger than anything. That's why I love him. And I always will. Because my brother was not just somewhere there for me for blood, there for me for happiness. He was my hero. And he was a fighter. And dare I say it, and I will give the biggest praise where it's due, but he's tougher than all of us. He was. Tougher than me, tougher than my dad, tougher than anybody in this building. I'm not kidding, because if you hadn't gone through the pain as he did, you would have said, please, just, I want to give up. But guess what? In Justin's final moments, he didn't want to give up. And he didn't do it for himself. And he didn't do it because he was afraid to die. In fact, he didn't even know what the word is. He was fighting for his family. So, I said this on a show of mine this past Thursday, and I'm going to say this right here. Even if you have problems with a sibling of you have, I don't care who it is, brother, sister, half-brother, step-brother, step-sister, half-sister, whatever you want to call it, tell them how much you love them. Because we're not going to all be here forever. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, you got to tell how much you love your sibling. Justin knew how much I loved him. He knew how much our mother loved him, his father, and his sister. And I hope that I can be as strong as he is so I can see him again one day. But like I said, just tell a sibling you know how much you love them. Because this world ain't forever. But I know he'll be with me forever. Justin, I want to say thank you. And I'm going to miss you so much. And I will never, ever forget you. We'll never forget you, man. I'm done, Hop. I'm done. Thank you.
Amen.
I'm Debbie, Lisa's sister, if you don't know me. And Justin did have an impact on lots of people. And even as simple as just what you saw, Jordan has a big heart. And he has a big heart because he was influenced by Justin and taking care of him. And I kept Justin when Lisa, right after she had him, because she had to work, and I was lucky that I didn't have to, and him and my Erica are 3 days apart. Erica's 3 days older. And when he finally started not doing stuff that Erica was doing, there was many times Erica would sit on top of Justin and pull his arms and want him to sit up. And she'd say, come on, JJ, you can do it. And today, Erica works in a home of 4 guys in wheelchairs, and it's because of the influence that she had being raised up with Justin that gave her the heart. And she loves those guys, and she they get on her nerves, and she treats them like people that they are. And so he had an influence on her life choice for a career. And I loved him like he was mine. And our family's always been super close. And I mean, my heart breaks for y'all, and you know that. But Justin did, when he came, since Erica was 3 days older, I was at home and didn't get to see Justin right when he was born. But I had the honor, Lisa called me Wednesday and said that she didn't think he was going to make it much longer. And so I went to the house. And when I got there, she had Justin in the crook of her arm. He was calm and he was looking up at her. And so that gave me, I finally got to see her holding her baby, whether it was the first time or the last time. But Justin couldn't have had a better family, a better church family. And y'all have just loved on them so much. I'm just so proud to be a part of the family and a part of my church family. But I do want to share this poem. It's in our the bulletin. But Lisa, as far as I know, Lisa's never really been a writer. I mean, and she thinks she's a poet, you know, sometimes. She's the funniest, if y'all didn't know that. Now, a rapper. She could be a rapper. But since our mom's gone and Donna's gone, and it just being her left of our core family, she can be the funniest, because I know I'm not. I mean, she has nobody else to compete with anymore. But this, she wrote this November 24th, 1996, and she couldn't sleep until she got it out. And finding out Justin had cerebral palsy was very hard. And it was a very hard decision. I mean, not a decision. It was a very hard condition to accept. And a lot of us fought against it because we didn't want it to be true. But it turned out it was the best thing that could have happened, like the story of Pastor getting saved. So he was an influence in that too. But I'm going to read this from his mommy. If only his little mouth could. His little body may not work the way a body should, but he would tell you of Jesus' love if only his little mouth could. One sweet little heart always beats in rhythm. It surely won't give out, but Jesus Christ is dwelling there. Of this, please have no doubt. Two little hands he cannot clap when he is feeling joyful, but one day they will hold the hand of the one who is most royal.
Yes.
Two wobbly legs are no use to him. They barely hold his weight, but those two legs one glorious day will carry him through heaven's gate. Two little feet that cannot walk or skip or hop or run, but when these two feet stand on streets of gold, they'll be the ones having the most fun. Two little ears hear everything. There's nothing wrong with those. He may not be exactly perfect, but he's angel from head to toes. His two little eyes, they cross a lot. He doesn't see too good, but he would tell you of Jesus' love if only his little mouth could.
Thank you.
What a privilege it is to be here with y'all, to be here knowing this family, knowing how God's blessed them, and I'd say probably, 2002, 2003 or whatever there, and Jordan was talking about the Parsonage Fellowship Hall now. I guess that's the first time I met Justin there then, and saw the scowl, as they so would say there, but at the same time, through the bird brow, you still saw the smile as well, and could hear, when you walk in the door, could hear, when I talk to him, me and him talk regularly throughout the week, and could always hear, him, or hear Jenny in the background, all the time. And I can remember Jordan was talking about how he'd put him in seizure locks. I can remember talking to Brother Little one night, and he had me on speakerphone, and I heard, pow! I heard him let out a little bit of an oomph there, and Boy Justin had apparently got a hold of him with one of those kicks, and pretty good in there. He said, he's busted my lip, brother. He said, he's locked it. He there for a little boy, he said, man, I played football and ain't been hit that hard. But he was roughing Dad up a little bit then, wasn't he, man? And I say some of that. But, folks, listen, these are things that God has blessed. Brother Jason's already mentioned many of them there. Miss Debbie did as well. I wrote down just quite five quick things before we get into the message there about what God's done. Some of them will be repetitive of what you've already heard already. But I did not realize the specifics, just how much in detail God used somebody that nobody else. You won't hear his name being mentioned on Fox News or CNN. You won't see him have a big press conference today over a fella by the name of Justin Little. But heaven's rejoicing. A mom and dad are even rejoicing. He was a mighty impact in seeing his daddy's salvation. Because of his salvation, their home would become a Christian godly home. Because of this young man's testimony, not only would his daddy become saved, God would call his daddy into the ministry. Would see his mama not become not just a mama, but a pastor's wife. Would see God bless and use in a mighty way. Of all the pastors that have been through this church, you've been directly impacted by this young man's testimony. 27 years is a short life. But I dare say this, sadly, many of us haven't made such an impact and testimony for Christ this young man has. I wouldn't have been able to have my best friend, Brother Little, if it wasn't for Justin. I can't begin to tell you, folks, the missionaries that I've met, the books that have been read and written, the prayers that have been prayed for you, all, folks, goes back because of one young man that God used. Now, we can take today, and yes, it is a sad day, but I told Brother Little last night, me and him were talking late last night, and those of you that know us, that's nothing new for us, is it, Brother? Amen. And I said, Brother, it may sound weird, but I said, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to celebrating how good God is.
Amen.
The world today, folks, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you see this as being a time of just mourning. Well, folks, this is a time, folks, of gladness. This is a time of rejoicing. This is a time where we're celebrating and we're looking forward, folks. Because we know, you'll see in Psalms chapter 30, I want you to turn there as I speak to you if you got your Bibles. Psalms chapter 30, you'll see in a little bit, folks. Listen, this weeping's just for a short time. I'm so glad, folks, that there's people in God's Word that He gives us that you and I can relate to. I won't dare ask for a raising of hands, but for the size of crowd that we've got here in front of me and behind me this evening, there's more than just one mama and daddy that's had the misfortune of laying one of their children to rest. I know of, besides Brother Little, I know of another preacher here that's went through the same thing. And you look from the outside in, and you hear people, Miss Lisa, say all the time, how can you keep a straight face? How can you stay strong through this? I told Brother Little last night, I said, I want you to read this. And he's already read it. He's probably read this 1,000 times. I said, I want you to go back and I want you to read Psalms 30 again. And this is exactly what I told him. I said, I want you to insert your place into David's name there. But Brandon, I said, I want you to think of everything that David went through. Can you imagine going through this at least 3 times? How in the world could somebody like David say, boy, but God's been so good to me? I want you to listen to what Psalm chapter 30 says. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. I'm glad death don't have victory over us, aren't you? O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast, what's it say? Healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. What's that say? But joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountains to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried unto thee, O Lord. And unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Now there's three words in verse number 12 you can't miss. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee when? Forever. As we look at the celebration, and I mean that, of the home going of Justin Little, sadly, folks, most people, will never understand how a family, you can look at them, you say, preacher, there'll be some tears shed. There will be. There has been. There'll be a lot more. But you'll say, preacher, how in the world can they still keep a joy in their heart? What will keep them from getting bitter? And by the way, just because you're saved doesn't mean this won't, something like this couldn't make you bitter. Somebody say amen right now. Amen. But there's something, folks, that they'll use, something they'll have to rely on. And it can't be just friends. It can't be just family. Folks, listen, those are good things. Thank God for those. Thank God for all of you that are here. Thank God for the preachers that are praying for them and their churches that are praying for them, and they appreciate that. But they recognize the same thing David recognized, that in the midst of the night, when there was nobody else to sit there, when doctors couldn't do anything else, Brother God never left the situation. He was right there. The very breath that he was taking in, the very heart that was breathing, still held in God's hand. Absolutely. David was a man that knew a thing or two about heartaches. Thank the Lord, folks, he was always saying, in the midst of every one of my heartaches, whether he said it was done by his own doing, or it was his enemies, or things that he had to face that hurt him, he said, God always healed me. He always lifted me up. He always could take the broken heart, folks, and we're seeing it in this family and taking heal it up. Miss Lisa will always laugh with you. She's like me. She'll probably tell you something that you may catch you off guard, but you'll like it. And if you don't like it, you'll get over with it, or you'll die with it on your mind. Amen. Brother Little will laugh at what you said. A few minutes later, you'll think, wait a minute, I just got that. And you'll think back and say, that was pretty good. And even in the midst of all this, walked in the door there yesterday evening, and Miss Lisa hugged me. And what a blessing they've been to me. There's been times that I've been on the phone crying over a situation, church-wise or whatever else, and I can hear their son in the background. They still would pray. They'd still cry with me. Who taught that kind of patience? Who taught that kind of joy? Who was the one? I'm going to tell you somebody. It was somebody that had been through the trenches. Somebody God had used. In the midst of that, they'd say, you know what? This ain't nothing. God lifted us up out of situations like that. He'll lift you up. Listen, this is the time right now. where God's going to keep on lifting you up. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but the next day and the next day and the next day. And I told Brother Little, I want you to think about this right now. Brother Chip, could you imagine if this is the very last funeral we'll ever get to attend? What a testimony it would be. Because I tell you what, I believe with all my heart, you look at all this stuff going on today, folks, listen, we're getting awful close. It could be the day right now today, Brother. It could be the day. I'm shocked it ain't happened already, to be honest with you. Many of us today need to thank God for some testimonies. David said, listen, my testimony ain't always been good, but God's always been good. He said, he's always lifted me up. And he said, listen, in verse number 5, he said, the reality is, he said, death is real. Now, you may be here this morning, this evening. You might be a churchgoer. Or you might even have a title beside your name. You might be a preacher. You might be a deacon. You might be a missionary. You might be a church member. You might be anything. But unless you're born again, folks, you're lost.
Right.
And I promise you this, death is going to come knocking on your door one day. It's not if, it's not, folks, listen, it's when it's going to happen. It will happen, folks. God's word says you must be born again. How, if you notice over and over again, if you do a count, don't do it right now, but if you go back and take chapter 30 and you count over and over and over again, you see a capital L-O-R-D. David kept saying over and over again, I know who Jesus is. I know who God is. He is my Lord. How can a family make it through this? Well, they know who the Lord is. He's their personal. He's their personal Lord and Savior. Last thing I say is real quickly, folks. Our time of death is something that we get a little off kilter. You see, the saddest part about today is, folks, this happened before we thought it would. Now, don't get upset with me, but listen. Parents are supposed to bury grandparents. Parents aren't supposed to bury children. Parents are supposed to be the pallbearers at their brother's or sister's funeral, not their baby boys. You say, preacher, why do these things happen? Many, many years ago, a man by the name of Adam messed things all up. You see, we weren't supposed to experience something like this. But because sin into the world,
That's right.
We got to go through something like this. Yeah. But I sure am glad that there's coming a day where we'll never have to experience this mess again.
Yeah.
There'll be no more sorrow.
Yeah.
There'll be no more pain.
That's right.
Never will a mama have to say goodbye to her baby boy again. Never will a daddy say, I'm done. Never will a church have to weep over their precious youngin' going on. While there'll be days of confusion, sadness, thank God. In verse number 10 through 12, David said, I'm looking forward to the day when God takes night and turns it into morning. He said, but until then, he said, Lord, when I look at what you've got ahead of me, he said, I'm going to take that morning. I'm going to allow God to put a song in my heart. He said, I'm even going to let him put a pep in my step. For those of us Baptists, that means he's going to let him dance a little bit. Until then, folks, we can give glory. And knowing him, folks, as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And until we see him face to face from Brother Jason, like I said, I don't think it's going to be long. We can take his word. We can bury ourselves in it. We can look at the testimony of real, true blue, born again Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about right now. And see the impact. Look around. The impact. I believe with my whole heart, Brother Little, Miss Lisa, the church ain't full. The choir life ain't full today because of pity. Now don't get upset with me, but I've been to some funerals before where there's been some car wrecks and stuff like that. And Brother Emmer, there'd be a lot of people there in pity. This ain't pity today. This ain't pity at all. This is an impact eternally about what happens when God takes somebody and then takes a family and uses them and then takes a church and uses them. And then, folks, God uses it to reach untold people. I talked to Brother Jody there at the end of the week. Here's a missionary slash pastor all the way over in Scotland. God's used a young man over even over there. Yep. There's missionaries here right now that have reached every, from Indians to prisons, you name it. Look here. You won't know this side of heaven. Can you imagine walking in heaven one day? You say, preacher, I don't think it's going to be like this. Shut up, it is. Can you imagine going in heaven one day? There comes Justin. He said, boy, I've seen a lot of people that I never thought I knew. But God used what I went through to bring people to Christ. Amen. Mom, it was tough on you. Dad, it was tough on you. But look at the thousands upon thousands of people that found out about our Savior because of what I went through. Oh, it will be worth it all. There's a day coming. All this is done with, brother. We won't have to cry no more. We won't have to weep tears of bitterness. We won't have to worry about everything associated with death. But until then, look at verse number 12, and I'm done. I said three words to the end. To the end. Folks, to the end, God's been good.
Amen. That's right.
To the end, He's never left us nor forsaken us.
That's right.
Family, to the end, He's going to hold you in His bosom. If you haven't went through what this family's went through, you better stop and thank God for that. If you have went through what this family's going through and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you'll never get over this. You say, preacher, what do you mean to get over this? You won't be able to bear it. But I promise you this, I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to put some more pressure on this family, and they know it, and they'll gladly take this burden. I want you to see how God uses something like this as a blessing beyond compare. He's already took 27 short years and blew our minds. Imagine what the best is yet to come. What about it today? If this was your funeral that was being preached, could the same be said with certainty about your salvation? What if you were a parent? Could the same be said about your testimony? If not, boy, I'd get it fixed today. There's never been such a group of great godly men and women right now that I can look out and see that would be more than glad to jump up out of their seat and take God's word and lead you to Jesus Christ right now. That means you've got the greatest opportunity, and yet also means you'll have no excuse to not accept Him now. What type of lasting legacy would Justin leave on you? In spite of it all, he can say, God used me. Amen. God used me. Let me pray here real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us to the end. For blessing us to the end. For pouring your goodness and mercy, Lord, all over us, but specifically, Lord, the little family. Lord, we don't make sense of things most of the time, but Lord, your word always shows us that you know exactly what you're doing. Your timing is perfect. Your ways are perfect. And Lord, to the end, it continues to blow our mind. Thank you, Lord, for loving them. Thank you for a great impact. Lord, I pray that you bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I can truly say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. What a great celebration for Justin. But can you imagine the celebration he's having right now on the other side?
Oh my.
Let me tell you what. We just talked about it just a minute ago. I don't think he's walking the streets of gold. I think he's running the streets of gold. Amen.
Skipping,
yeah, skipping. That's right, brother. And he's seeing clearly now. And also chatting with everyone he comes in contact with, I'm sure. And he is seeing all those folks that went on before him that had a great impact. He had a great impact on all of us, really, if you think about it. Everybody that here loved him. And he loved everybody, too. And because of that, you know, we could see Justin again in a much better place because of Jesus. We're going to have our closing prayer in just a minute. And as I pray the final prayer, like our brothers have said today, and they've done an awesome job today. Thank you, fellas, for y'all's ministry and Miss Willa for playing today. And let me tell you what, folks, don't put that off. Don't put a relationship with Jesus Christ off.
Amen.
You know, I don't try to scare anybody, but I'm going to tell you what, I see death pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And if you stand before a holy God without Christ in your heart, I don't care what you think you've done
please
for him.
Please listen.
He's going to say, get behind me. I never knew the worst words we can ever hear. But if you know Jesus is your Savior and your Lord,
amen,
you're going to hear what Justin has already heard. Well done. Well done.
Amen.
My
amen.
Good and my faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. And that's just where he is. Folks, let's pray together before we go. Father, we love you, and we thank you. And we are so thankful we can come before your throne, that you do hear our prayers, that you love us in spite of us. And, Lord, we're grateful that he's celebrating on the other side right now. And, Father, if there's anyone here today under the sound of my voice that hadn't made that decision to follow you, Lord, just pierce their hearts with your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Let them know that they're in their lost condition. Holy Spirit, you draw them close. And, Lord, it's a very simple prayer that I prayed when I was 23 years old, but it's a very powerful prayer. It's the only prayer that you promise to hear. Then you hear them all after that, the prayer of repentance, the prayer of salvation. And the prayer goes like this, and they can pray it right from their heart silently, or they can pray it out loud. Either way, you have promised to hear that prayer. And the prayer goes like this, Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And that you arose from the grave, I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and to save my soul. I want to live for you, Jesus. And I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Father, we're just so thankful for everything you do for us. When I was just sitting here listening to the all the great things that were said about Justin just a minute ago by the ministers, the prophet Isaiah spoke to me. And what do you want me to tell the family today? Do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Help us to have eternity on our minds and our hearts, and heaven on our minds and our hearts. Because one day, through Christ, your precious Son, our King, our Savior, we can all be together again. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.